Let's open up to the Mishnah at the beginning of the fifth parak, Ezu Makom Shel Zvachim, and let's see what we can accomplish here. We're going to need at some point to open up a Gemara Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, but for now we're going to start with Daf Mem Zayin. Ezu Makom Shel Zvachim. So again, this chapter, this parak, is talking about the different places, the locations in the Beis HaMikdash, where we can do the Shechita, the Kabbal Saddam, where the Hazos Domim has to do, all different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So now we're talking about what we call Karbonos Behema. Okay, the different set of rules with regard to Ophos. Now we're talking about Behema. And we want to know where exactly should the Shechita take place. And the Mishnah is going to first address the case of Kachi Kachi. So Kachi Kachi, let's just review, means Asham, Chatos, Ola, and Shalmei Tzibur, which is the Kibbutz Atzeres of Chag HaShavuos. And the Mishnah establishes with regard to all these Kachim, what we need is Shechitasam Bat Sofam. Now back on Daf Chaf, we had a three-way machlokas tanoim exactly what Sofon is, but let's go with the simplest shita, the shita Rabbi Yossi, and again there are many different shitas. You're talking about the mizbeach where you go up from the Dorum, you go from the south towards the north, and if you go completely past the mizbeach on the north, on the top side of the mizbeach, you would eventually hit what we call the klaya chotzer, which is a phrase from the Mishkan, but in the Beis HaMikdash, that's called the chomos, the walls that surround the Azor. So you're going to hit the northern wall. Now, from the Mizbeach, and the end of the Mizbeach on the northern side, till the northern wall, is a certain distance. Everybody agrees that that distance is called Sofon, and that's where the Shechita could be done for Kachi Kachi. The question is, if you go a little bit to the west, or you go a little bit to the east, do you also add that to the Sofon? That's going to be a Machlokas Tanoim. It's not relevant to us today, but I'm just mentioning it to put it on the table. What the Mishnah doesn't mention here is Kabbalah Saddam. And the Gemara is going to make a big deal about this. Why doesn't the Mishnah tell me that not only does the Shechita have to happen in the Tzafon, but also the Kabbalah Saddam has to happen in the Tzafon? And there are possibilities where he could do the Shechita in the Tzafon, and yet he could be Makabal the Dam outside the Tzafon. So the Mishnah just says the following, Kachei Kachim Shechitasa Bat Tzafon. And it doesn't mention Kibul Domam Bat Sofon. Later on in the Mishnah, when it gets to the real specifics and the details of each karban, then the Mishnah is going to mention that the Kabbal Saddam requires Sofon and a Kli Sharetz, which is something that we want to discuss today at great length, that the Kabbal Saddam has to be in a Kli Sharetz. You can't just take a utensil off the shelf of your kitchen and use it to receive the Dam. It's got to have the Kedusha of a Kli Sharetz. So again, in the opening line of the Mishnah only addresses the issue of Shechita, and Shechita requires Tzafon. The Mishnah completely omits the fact that the Kabbal Saddam has to take place in a Kli Sharetz Bat Sofon. That's going to come up later on in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to wonder why we didn't open up the Mishnah with that statement. Okay. Now the Mishnah gets into details. There are many different categories of Kachi Kachim, subcategories if you will, and the first category of karbanos which the Mishnah takes up is what? Is chatos. Now, when it comes to chatos itself could be subdivided into many different subcategories, but we're going to talk today about what we call the chatos of Yom HaKippurim, which is called a par, and that par has to be brought together with a sa'ir on Yom HaKippurim. And here the Mishnah goes out of its way to point out that not only is the Shechita Bat Sofon, but also the Kibul Domam B'Kli Sharetz Bat Sofon. So let's just talk a little bit about Par V'Soyer today. That's what we're going to talk about. The Kohen Gadol has to bring a Par and a Soyer on Yom HaKippurim, and these two Karbonos have a very unique method of Hakrova. And especially with regard to the Domim. In other words, whereas a classical Chatas Behema, let's say, requires Zrikas Dam on the Mizbeach, and that's about it. with regard to the parvus soyer, which are two karbonos, each one is called a chatas of Yom HaKippurim, here there's a whole system of what you do with the dam, and that's what the Mishnah is going to address now. Says the Mishnah. Now, again, it's very tricky because you can read the reish of this next sentence, the first part of the sentence, without reading the sefer, and you get half the picture. So you got to be careful. So I'm going to read the reish and the sefer together in one breath, b'neshima achas, and then we'll take it apart. Daman ta'un hazoya al bein habadim v'al haparochas. Okay, now it sounds like I read it all in one breath, which I did, but these are really two different categories. One is called Hazoya al Bein Abadim, and the other is called Hazoya al HaParochas. Now, in order to appreciate what the Bein Abadim is all about, we have to mention, of course, that the Beis HaMikdash is divided into many, many different parts, but the most important three parts, as far as Avodah is concerned, are which three parts? Let's start with the easy one, the larger one. What's that called? Azara. The Azara. Okay, so we have the Azara. Now we get a little bit more inside the Mikdash, and that's called the Heichal. Okay, now in the Heichal we have, amongst many other things, we have the Mizbach HaZov, otherwise known as the Mizbech HaPnimi. And then we go to the third level, which is really inside, and that's called what? The Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was the Aron. The Aron was situated on top of the Evan Shasiyah. And there was a mitzvah that the Torah requires that the Aron should be attached to two badim, which are poles, on the right side and the left side, and we weren't allowed to remove those poles. So those poles were there, attached to the Aron, in a permanent way. Now, if you go beyond the Aron, beyond the Bein HaBadim, then you have something called the Kapores. And the Kapores is, in a sense, a covering over the Aron, but it has a very, shall we say, a very special contribution or role to play on Yom HaKippurim. And that's called Hazoya Bein HaBadim. The Hazoya Bein HaBadim, which means, and we'll see Rashi in just a second, that between the Bade HaAron, right, which is Keneged HaKaporis. So if you follow what I mean, let's say if I'm standing here and I'm looking right in front of me at the Bade HaAron, and now the Aron is separated between me and the Bade HaAron by what's called a Kaporis. That Kaporis, a kind of a veil or covering over the Aron, that's really the subject or the object, if you will, of the Hazoya. We'll see exactly how he does the Hazoya, but be that as it may, the Hazoya should be on the Kaporis. Now, it's a little tricky, because Hazoya is done with Dam. And if I tell you that the Hazoya is on the Kaporis, then you're going to walk out of here with a mistaken impression that the Dam actually reaches the Kaporis. That's not true. We need what's called Kineged HaKaporis. There's actually no Negiyah, there's no actual contact between the Dam and the Kaporis. That might be bad news for the washing machine companies, because they would like to get, they would like to get more business. So we were hoping the dam would reach the kaporis, but it turns out the dam actually never reaches the kaporis. That's called kineged kaporis. Okay, then. Fine. Now, where is the kohen standing, and what hazoyos does he do kineged kaporis? The Mishnah says bein habad. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says the following. Hazoya al Bein HaBadim. If you have the Rashi, it's the middle section of the Rashi on the bottom, meaning that not the widest lines, but the middle-sized lines. He says Omed. Now, Rav Bolsai, when he says Omed, let's add a word before the word Omed. What word would you add? The Kohen, exactly. The Kohen, in this case, the Kohen Gadol. So where Rashi's first question here is, where does the Kohen Gadol stand? And Rashi says, Omed Bein Shnei Badei Ha'aron. He's standing between the Badim. So it wasn't like I described it to you before, that the Kohen Gadol is here and the Badim are here. No, the Kohen Gadol has to go in between the Badim.
But that's not the Ark they read.
So the Ark is still a little bit, you know, let's say the Badim, I don't have the exact measurements for you.
Are they longer?
Yeah, the Badim are a little bit longer on both sides of the Aron, right? And he's standing between the Badim, so there's one Bad on his right, one Bad on his left. And he does the Hazoya, we'll see exactly how he does the Hazoya, like this or like this. And he gets the Dam closer to the Aron, which is covered by the Kapores. He's not going to have an Agia to the Kapores. And basically, it's going to land on the floor in front of the Kapores. And that's called Keneged HaKapores.
Don't the Badim protrude? They protrude and they push the Kapores. So it looks like there's two protrusions. It's not like flat curtain. But the curtain has two protrusions.
So yeah, are you saying there's a problem here?
No, he's in between those two protrusions.
Right. He's between the two protrusions of the Badim. Rashi says he's Ome Bena Badim. And Rashi says Umaze. Now Rashi gets into the details of the Hazoya. And that's called Echad Achas Lamalo V'Zayin Shiva Lamato Kineged Ovyam Shel Kapores V'Lo Ayinogimbo. And Rashi says that Hazoya did not make contact with the Kapores, and therefore Rashi says Kineged HaKapores. Rashi adds another word here, Ovya Shel Kapores, the thickness of the of this covering. Okay. Fine, so that's what we have so far. Now, how does he do these hazoyos? So we say that there's achas lemala and sheva lemata. Okay then? So let's try to understand what that means. After all, if there's no negia here between the dam and the kapores, then you really wonder exactly what's lamal and what's lamata. For example, we discussed at great length, you remember the Zrikas Adam of Karbonos, and we differentiated between two Karbonos and all the rest of the Karbonos in terms of the Chut HaSikra. So you remember that the case of Chatas Behem and Olas HaOf, you had to do the Zrika on the top part of the Kir HaMizbeah, above the Chut HaSikra, and all the other Karbanos, you did the Zrika on the lower part, below the Chut HaSikra. So this I understand very well, because the Dav is going to hit up against the Kir HaMizbeah. But now we're talking about Hazah, where there won't be any Negir with the Kapores. So what's the difference between Lamala and Lamata? In both cases, the Dav is simply going down to the floor. So this is a sugya elsewhere in Masechta Menachos, and the Gemara says that there are two types of hazoyos. There's a hazoya where the Kohen has his palm facing upwards, and then there's a hazoya where the Kohen has his palm facing downwards in the back of his hand. Or let's call it is this called the back of the hand or the front of the hand?
Back of the hand.
This is called the back of the hand. So he has the back of his hand facing upwards. And basically what's going to happen is that in terms of the Hazoya Lamala, he's going to basically take the Dam from the palm of his hand and he's going to push it upwards and then it's going to fall down Kineged HaKapores. In the case of the other seven Hazoyos, his hand is like this, the Dam is here, and then he's going to flick his hand downwards. Okay? And all this is going on Bein HaBadim. So Rashi says the Kohen is situated Bein HaBadim. Now we have the Al Hak Paroches. Okay, now we're talking about the Kohen is standing in the Heichal. The Paroches is the veil or the curtain that separates between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Kohen is not entering into the Kodesh Kadoshim now. He's taking the Dam of the Par and the Sa'ir, each one separately, and he's doing another set of hazos, and these hazos are kineged the parochas. So again, the kohen is situated in the heichal, and he's kineged, he's parallel to, or he's against the parochas. The parochas is going to separate the heichal from let's say the Kodesh Kadosh and the Aron, which is inside. And then once again, he does two sets of hazos, 1 and 7 for each of the two sets, one for the Dam HaSoyer, the other one for the Dam HaPar. And once again, he does Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata. Again, repeating what he did before, but this time not standing Bein Abadim inside the Kodesh Kadoshim and doing the Hazor Keneged HaKaporis, but rather standing in the Heichal and doing the Hazor Keneged HaParoches. And all these laws are derived from one parsha in the Torah, that's Parshas Achrimos, and it's Perek Tezayin in Sefer Vayikra. Okay, that's what we have so far. Now, Rashi quotes one pasuk from Perek Tezayin, that's the Rashi Dibra Masu V'Ala Paroches, Kirichsiv V'chein Yaseh Li'ol Moed. That's the pasuk V'chein Yaseh Li'ol Moed. Okay. Let's go on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is now going to talk about mixing the dam of the par and the sor together in one kli shares for the last set of hazos, and that's going to be al mizbach v'al mizbach hazov. Okay. Now, in the case of the mizbach hazov, what we're talking about is what we call the Gag HaMizbeach. Okay, we're talking on the roof, so to speak, of the Mizbeach. What's on the roof of the Mizbeach on the four corners? The Kronos, right? The Karni HaMizbeach. And now, the Kohen has mixed the Dam of the Par and the Sor together. And now, with this mixture, he gives Dam over to the four Kronos HaMizbeach. And how many chronos does he have to put it on? All four. Matona achas me'akeves. Okay, so he's got to do all four. Right? In other karbonos, for example, in a classical case of chatos, you know, one matona would be sufficient for the other, but here we need all four. The Mishnah goes on to speak now about shvichas dam al yisod. But we'll take a break now. We'll skip to the Gemara. So the Gemara is here on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and Ritzchem will finish. We'll finish the Mishnah at a different occasion. The Mishnah says the following. The Gemara says the following. The opening line in the Mishnah was Kachim Kachim Shvitasu B'Tzafon V'Nisnei Nami V'Kibul Daman V'Kli Sharis B'Tzafon. Why did the Mishnah mention the fact that, as it mentions later on in the specific cases, that the Kabbalah Saddam has to be in a Kli Sharis Bat Sofon? So the Gemara answers, Keva De'ika Asham Mitzora, the Kibul Doma B'Yadhu, therefore Shire. The Mishnah did not want to mislead us. If it would have said that Kibul Dom B'Kli Sharis Bat Sofon as part of the general opening rule, we would have applied it straight across the board without any exception, even to the case of Asham Mitzora.
The Torah isn't really different. They're just the two kohanim, and part of it goes into.
Excellent. So what you know is based on this Gemara that we're about to learn about the two kohanim. But right now the Gemara is operating here with one kohen, and that one kohen is doing what's called kabbalas domo biyado. In other words, he has to receive the dam from the korban asham into his kafayad, into his palm directly, without any utensil. And then what does he do with the dam on the kafayad? He's going to do what's called matan bahonos, which means he's going to place the dam on different parts of the body of the mitzorah as part of the process of taras ha-mitzorah. So in order to avoid any misunderstanding, meaning that we would have understood the Mishnah as a universal rule that every case of kodshei kodshim requires kabbalas adam bikli, we want to avoid any mistake, because in the case of Hashem Mitzor, we must have a Kabbalah Saddam biyado in the hand of the Kohen. Rashi says, Kiriyolif Lekaman, the Gemara is going to derive this later on, Shemakabal Domo Lutoch Kapo, into the palm of his hand, Shire. And Rashi says, Mishum Delo Paskele Milsa, the Mishnah had to omit this statement about Kabbalah Saddam in a Kli Shares, because lo paskile milsa, it's not absolute. There is an exception to the rule. So instead of creating a klal, which applies to Shar Kodshim, that all other Kodshim require Kabbalah Saddam B'Kli, but that would imply, if the Mishnah would have said so, that even in the case of what? Of Hashem Mitzora, it's enough to have Kabbalah Saddam B'Kli. No, it's not enough. We need Kabbalah Saddam B'Kaf Yodo. So the Gemara says, "Velo, are you telling me that Hashem Mitzora is the exception to the rule, and there's no din of Kabbalah's dam b'kli shareis? V'aktani lo l'kamon." We have a Mishnah later on, Adaf Nun Dalet Amid Beis, which explicitly demands that the Hashem Mitzora, like every other korban, requires Kabbalah's dam b'kli shareis batzofa. Hashem Nazir, Hashem Mitzora, Shintosa Mitzofa, Kibul dam b'kli shareis batzofa. So the Gemara says the following. Mei Kara, opening up this chapter, this parak called Eisim Mekoman, and setting up a klal that applies to Kodshei Kodshim, Savar, the Tana holds that Kibul Damo Biyadhu, that since the Torah requires in the case of Hashem Mitzora that the Kohen be Makabal the Dam directly into his hand, therefore the Mishnah opening the parak avoided establishing and formulating an absolute rule that Kabbalah Saddam requires Kli Shareis Batzofon, because we would misunderstand and apply that to all Kodshei Kodshim, even to the Dam of Hashem Mitzora, and we come to the mistaken conclusion that the Hashem Mitzora only requires Kabbalah Saddam B'Kli, and there is no alternative requirement, an additional requirement of Kabbalah Saddam B'Yad. Is there for Shairi the Mishnah went ahead and omitted it? Now we know from the omission that there's going to be one carbon that requires Kabbalah Saddam B'Yad, and that's called Hashem Mitzora. But the Kaiva de lo Sagile Ela B'Kli. In other words, it's not enough that the Kohen would be Makabal Adam HaOshem B'Kli, because if that be the case, then he's omitting the Kabbalah Saddam B'Kaf. But on the other hand, it's not enough that he's makabel the dam b'kaf, lo sagile el b'kli, but the Torah requires, even in the case of Hashem Mitzor, like that of all other korbanos, that there be a kabel sadam b'kli, is therefore hadar tanya. That's why the Mishnah later on had to fill in the missing blank, complete the picture, and tell us that in addition to the kabel sadam b'kaf, there's going to be another kabel sadam b'kli sharis. And basically, Hashem Mitzor becomes now the hybrid Kabbalah Saddam, the complex Kabbalah Saddam, which requires both Kabbalah Saddam B'Kaf and Kabbalah Saddam B'Kli. How so? How does that work? This Sanya we learned in a Brisa regarding Kabbalah Saddam of Hashem Mitzor. And this Brisa is interpreting a pasuk in Vayikra Yudalid V'Lakach HaKohen Midam HaOsham. Yochel, I would think that what the pasuk has in mind is Lekicha. It says V'Lakach, which means that he takes the dam into a kli, because whatever the Torah says, v'lokach ha-kohen midam, whatever it says afterwards, it always means that the dam is coming out of the tzavar ha-behema into a kli. And I might think that since the Torah says, v'lokach ha-kohen midam ha-osham, dam ha-osham is classical and requires kabbal sadam b'kli, and that's it, the regular classical paradigmic v'lokach, and that would be sufficient. Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, no. Vinasan, we need not only a v'lakach, but we also need vinasan. So let's read the entire pasuk that opens up with the word vinasan. Again, over there in Vayikra Yudal. It says the following. Vinasan al tnuch ozen hametayr hayimonis, v'al boen yodo hayimonis. So it's going to be nesinas dam on various parts of the body of the mitzorah. The alboin raglo hayimonis. So this is called matan bahonos. So the matan bahonos include both the ozen and the yad and the regel. And now we have a pasuk that starts with Velakacha Kohen, and then it says Venasan, etc. And this establishes what we call a Hekesh. A Hekesh is an equation, in this case, between Lekicha, which means Kabbal Sadam, and Venasan. Manesina Zu. Al ozen ubahonosom shel mitzora nasis bi atzmo mini begufo shel kohen. The kohen is going to take the dam from his hand and put it on the ear and the finger and the toe of the mitzora. But it's not enough that the kohen uses a receptacle as a means to transfer the dam onto the body of the mitzora. He's got to do it with direct contact from his hand. That's called the atzmo shel kohen, aflekicha. So too, when he receives the dam, is the atzmo shel kohen. He has to receive the dam from the tzavara beema onto his calf, onto his palm. Yochel, I might think that that's the beginning and the end of the whole story, and all that we need as far as kabbalah sam ha'ashem is only the kaf hayad, the atzmo shel kohen, is af lamizbeach. What about the dam ha'ashem that needs and requires Rikal Gabi Mizbeach? There too is going to go from his hand, from the Tzavar Behema to his palm, and from the palm over to the Mizbeach. That's what I might think. Talmud Lomar, but the Pasuk says over there again, in the same Perek, Ki Kachatos Ha'asham Hula Kohen, another Hekesh, in which we equate Asham to Chatos. The Pasuk in one breath mentions both. And what is this Hekesh going to teach me? Ma chatos teuna kli, af osham ton kli. That a chatos requires kabbalas dam bekli, so too the osham requires kabbalas dam bekli. Nimtzei sata omer, and here's where you get the two kinds of kabbalas adam, each one with a separate and individual purpose. And it's telling us the din of Hashem mitzora shnei kohanim mekabel mitzdomo. There are two different kohanim who are going to be mekabel adam of the korban asham. Echad biyad v'echad bekli. Zeh shekibla bekli batzol et bolo etzol mizbeach. He goes over to the mizbeach. We're talking about the mizbeach hachitzon, and he does the zrikas adam on the mizbeach, on the karnos on mizbeach. Zeh shekibla biyado, the other kohen who received the dam in his palm, bolo etzol mitzora. And he does the matan bahonos on the various parts of the body of the mitzvah. So that's what we have over here as far as Osham. By the way, does anybody know, just on the side, what karbon, in addition to the Osham, will the mitzvah bring after the Osham? That's called the karbon chatos. And the Rambam says, very interesting, that if a mitzvah brought the chatos without the osham, then the chatos alone, independently, could be machshir the mitzvah. Which is very fascinating, because the first in the series of korbanos that the mitzvah has to bring as part of the process of hechshir, to be mitiring, to allow him to eat kodshin, to allow him to go into the mikdash, the first korban on the list is going to be the osham. It's only the second one that is the chatos. And yet the Rambam says if they skipped over the Osham and they omitted it and they brought the chatos, that's enough to clinch the Hechsher HaKarbon. And that's a very problematic Rambam, because the Gemara says that the Seder, the sequence that gives priority first to the Osham, is Likuva. It's critical. So the Osham has to come before the chatos. And yet the Rambam says that the chatos alone, do you remember, Rabose once had a discussion about a machshava poselis during Haktara Saimuri. And the Gemara basically gives a svara that there's no way you could passel the karbon post Zrika. The Zrika already clinches the kaparsa karbon, and now you're going to do the Haktara Saimuri. Even if he doesn't do the Haktara Saimuri, let's say the Imurim are lost or they became Tomei, the karbon is kosher and it's machaper. So it's impossible that a machshava could be a machshava poselis to passel the karbon. And that's The Rambam now is very problematic, because on the one hand the Rambam says that the chatos itself could exist independent of the Osham and could be machshir the mitzorah, but on the other hand, if he messes up the Seder and if he didn't bring the Osham first, that's likuva. How do you reconcile those two? Because if you're telling me that the Osham could be skipped entirely, he could completely omit the Karban Osham, then what are you telling me if the Seder is likuva? You know, that doesn't make any sense. Alright, I'm just mentioning that on this slide. Okay. Now, what do we want to take a look at today? Okay. So first of all, let's talk about Kabbalah Saddam B'Kli Sharis. So let's look at Rashi on the fourth of the middle size wide lines. And Rashi says, B'Kli Sharis. What Rashi addresses the following question. You know, we're going to talk about Kabbalah Saddam B'Kli Sharis until it's coming out of our ears. Where does that come from? How do we know what's the source for Kabbalah Saddam B'Kli Sharis? I mean, the whole of Masechta Zvachim is built on this premise that you need Kabbalah Saddam and B'Kli Sharis. So Rashi said, D'chsiv B'Ola B'Sinai. At the end of Parashas Mishpatim, the Bnei Yisrael brought an entire series of karbanos in the context of Kabbalah Satorah. And the pasuk says, Vayasem Baganos, that the dam was placed into a receptacle, and that's a kli. So Rashi says, Umimena, from that case of the carbon ola that was brought in our Sinai, we derive the conclusion that kol hazvachim, that all karbanos require a kli shares, meaning like the aganos of Har Sinai, behekesh. And Rashi says we have a hekesh between karban ola and all the other karbanos. And that tells you lit on b'kli, teaching you that just like the ola of Har Sinai required a kli for Kabbalah Saddam, so too all zvachim require Kabbalah Saddam b'kli. That's what Rashi says here at the beginning of Perek Ezu Mekoma. So far so good. The problem is that there's another sugya in Zvachim much earlier in the first perek that seems to give us a whole different impression. And if you have a Masechta Zvachim, you'll open up for a moment to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, you'll see a Mishnah. And the Mishnah addresses the issue of Kabbalah Saddam. And if you have a Machshava Poselis, if the Kohen has the wrong Machshava at the time of Kabbalah Saddam, that's going to passel the Korban. So for example, we have one classical example would be a Machshava Shalom Lishma, which to some extent passels the Korban. Again, in the cases of Chatas and Pesach, it means the carbon is possible. In the case of other carbonos, it's lo olu l'bayim l'shem chova. And be that as it may, the Mishnah establishes that even if the Kohen had the machsheva shalol l'shma at the moment of Kabbalah Saddam, that's enough to passel the carbon. Now, in the course of this discussion, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa seems to assume that maybe we don't need Kabbalah Saddam. And if we don't need Kabbalah Saddam, then it's very difficult to assume that a Machshava Poselis would apply during the moment of Kabbalah Saddam. Now this Braisa that the Gemara quotes here, you'll see it's the first line of the wide lines on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, darshins the pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, which is the first carbon in Sefer Karbonos, the book of Karbonos. That's the carbon ola, and it says with regard to the carbon ola, v'shachat es ben abakar lifnei Hashem, v'krivu bnei Aaron hakohanim es adam, v'zarku es adam al mizbeach saviv. What does that sound like to you? Before we see this price, so v'krivu bnei Aaron hakohanim es adam, v'zarku es adam. V'krivu. What does v'krivu mean? To bring the dam what? Close to the mizbeach. That sounds like which of the avodas?
Zrika.
Well, maybe halacha, maybe zrika, but certainly not kabbalah saddam. Says the price of v'krivu zu kabbalah saddam. So we have now a braisa that's committed to interpret the pasuk v'krivo as referring to Kabbalah Saddam. Now that doesn't sound like Rashi here at the beginning of Ezu Zvach, of Ezu Mekom Shel Zvach, because Rashi says From whence do we derive Kabbalah Sadav? From Har Sinai, because in Har Sinai it says Vayasein Baganos. Here the Gemara is deriving it from an entirely different pasuk, Vekrivu, in Parshas Olam. But let's go on in the Brice. Ata Omer Kabbalah Sadav Eino Elazrika. Maybe he's being makariv the dam to the mizbeach. That's called the zrika. When he throws the dam onto the mizbeach, that's by Yakrivu. So it's unbelievable, Rabbi say. At this point, the Gemara is committed to a Havavina, and we know that a Havavina is very important, that we don't need Kabbalah Saddam. Forget about Har Sinai, forget about anything you know about Kabbalah Saddam. Which is, by the way, this is a pella of a sugya, because there's a Mishnah that says that if the dam goes from the Tzavar HaBehemah straight on to the Ritzvah, then it's possible. If it went into a Kli, and it was Kabbalah, and then it got spilled onto the Ritzvah, then you can collect the dam and do the Kabbalah again, and so forth and so on. Anyway, but be that as it may, I can't solve all the problems at once. There's a flood of issues here, but the Gemara has a Havamina that there's no need for Kabbalah Sadam. Now, what does that mean exactly? I mean, how would you circumvent Kabbalah Sadam? Perhaps what it means is that you'll do kind of a mitzvah job, you know, and you'll squeeze the dam onto the mizbeach from the tzavar HaBehemah. What do you say?
It's like the bird.
Like the bird, like mitzvah of an oaf. Or perhaps the Gemara's Havamina was that you don't need a Kli Sharis, and it's not called an Avodah. Every avodah in the Mikdash required a Kli Sharis. Here's something that's not, it's just a technicality. You just get the dam over to the mizbeach, and then you do your zrika. And take a Kli off the shelf, you know, just use it for a Kabbalah Sadam. So the Brisa answers Kshu Omer, because the next word in the Pasuk, after it says Vikrivu, it says Vizarku Sadam. So therefore, by definition, Vekrivu and Vizarko are two separate things. Is there a Zrika Omor on Mani Makayim Vekrivu? So what's Vekrivu? Zu Kabbalas Hadam. And once the Braisa tells you that you need Kabbalas Hadam, and Kabbalas Hadam now is one of the four Avodos, and that's going to justify why the Mishnah says that Machshava Poselos Bishas Kabbalas Hadam is going to invalidate the Karbon. The Braisa goes ahead and adds another few points. Number two, B'nei Aaron HaKohanim. The Torah says, V'krivu B'nei Aaron HaKohanim. Every avod has to be done by a Kohen. Shechit is a very complex issue. And number two, it's got to be Shetehei B'Kohen Kosher. Right? It can't be a Balmum, it can't be a Cholol. It's got to be a Kohen Kosher. And then it says, U'B'Kli Shares. So Rashi points out the Kli Sharis means he's got to be wearing Big Day Kahuna. So he's a Kohen Kosher, he's wearing Big Day Kahuna, Bismanche, Big Day Amaleim, Kunasam Aleim, he's ready for the Kabbalah Sadam, he has to have the right Machshava Kabbalah Sadam, and then after the Halacha, he does the Zrika Sadam. So I think if we read Rashi carefully here on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, I'll tell you which Rashi it is in just a second. We're going to see that Rashi himself is bothered by this. You know, how is it that the Braisa has no source whatsoever for Kabbalah Sadam other than the Pasuk Vikrivu, when in fact we do have a source for Kabbalah Sadam way before Vikrivu, back in what? In Sinai. So take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskil Ata Omer. And Rashi says that the Lashon of Hakrovel Mizbeach, he says, could mean Zrika. And that was the Havamina that Vehekrivo meant Zrika Sadam. So Rashi says, so what was the Havamina? If we would have interpreted Vehekrivo as Zrika in the Havamina, what happened to Kabbalah? There was no Kabbalah Sadam, no need for Kabbalah Sadam. So Rashi says, "Amal Kabbalah lo tzarich." And here there are two girsos in Rashi. Let's read again. I don't know which girsa we want to read first. Let's read the girsa of Kli. Okay, so according to that girsa in Rashi, Aval Kabbalah lo tzar kli. What do you mean lo tzar kli? We know that you need a kli. Which kli? Give me that word in the Bible for a kli.
Sure.
Baganos. You remember that word baganos? Where is that word baganos?
Sinai.
Correct. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim in our Sinai. So we know you need a kli. But wait a second. The Aganos at the time of Har Sinai, before the Mishkan was erected, those Aganos were a Kli, but not a Kli Sharetz. Then Rashi adds another three words. And Rashi says, May Oel Moed V'Elach. Now Rashi's going even a step further, and he seems to imply, take out the word Kli, that maybe if we only had the parish of Har Sinai, we wouldn't require Kabbalah at all. Forget about Kli. There's no din of Kabbalah Sadam, whether it's a Kli Shares or a Kli Chol. At the time of Har Sinai, they required a Kli. Says Rashi, but me Oel Moed V'Elos, they don't require a Kli. That's the Havmina before the word Vekrivo. What does it mean, Be'ol Moed? Give me another word for Ol Moed.
Mishkan,
right. So before the Mishkan, so I saw the Masifta says before the Mishkan there wasn't Avodah B'Kohanim. Who did the Avodah before the Mishkan? The B'choros. So he says that when there was Avodah B'choros, maybe they needed, you know, because the B'choros didn't have Kedushas Kahuna, whatever they had, we don't know, but whatever level they had, it wasn't equivalent to that of Kohanim. And therefore they needed a Kabbalah B'Kli, you know. But now that we've erected the Mishkan, and now that the Kedusha of Avodah has now been transferred over to the Kohanim, now we would think, again in the Avmi, that you don't need a Kli. So how do you know you need a Kli? And for that, we have this Pasuk, V'Krivu. So what I'd like you to do now is to take a quick look at the Nefesh Tova, which is because you haven't been with me until now. It's a wonderful sefer, and he asks some of our questions here. First, he starts by quoting our Rashi here in Ezu Mekomet Shel Zvachim, that Rashi says, "How do we know the Kabbal Sadam B'Kli Shores is a requirement according to the Torah? Because it says in the Parash of Sinai with regard to Korban Olah." Vayasem baganos, and from that we learn that all zvachim behekesh, we have a hekesh of all zvachim to Ola, and the Ola at the time of Har Sinai required kli, and therefore all zvachim require kli. Notice that Rashi here in Ezer Mekomet Shel Zvachim has no problem with deriving conclusions about Kabbalah Sadam from Har Sinai. He doesn't say, me, all moed v'elech, you know, is a whole new story. Notice also that Rashi, here in Ezer Mekomet, doesn't mention Kli Shares. But the most important thing to mention is that the Gemara later on in Masechta Zvachim, we didn't get to it yet, it's on Daf Tzadi Zion, the Gemara derives the requirement of Kli in Kabbalah Sadam, not from Olah, as Rashi says in here, but rather from Shalmei Tzibur. You may remember that at Har Sinai, there at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, in addition to Korbanos Olah, they also brought Korbanos Shlamim. And Shlamim, when it's brought on behalf of the entire Tzibur, has a special status of Kodshei Kodshim. We know of Shalmei Tzibur only from Kimsei Atzeres, but at the time of Har Sinai, there was an enterprise called Shalmei Tzibur, and Gemara in Tzadi Zion derives from Shalmei Tzibur that there has to be a Kabbalah B'Kli. Why? Because it says, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Adam Vayosem Ba'Aganos, and the Aganos was a Kli, and that's how they makabal the Dam of Shalmei Tzibur. So it's very odd that Rashi here at the beginning of Ezer Mekomet derives the requirement of Kabbalah B'Kli from Olah. The Gemara in Zvachim later on derives the requirement of Kabbalah B'Kli from Shlomim, from Shalmei Tzibur. Fine. So in the paragraph that starts the Af, if you happen to have the text in front of you, and again I'm trying to save myself the hassle of photocopying, so Again, it's worth it to, in my humble opinion, to spend the money and buy your own copy. Okay, this is volume 2. No, I'm just saying it honestly, Rabbi Osei, because again, I can't do the photocopying. It's just. So this is volume 2, and you're on page Shin Samach Gimel. Okay, then. And this question doesn't bother him. Why? Because he says that there was only a Havamina in the Gemara that we would require Shalmei Tzibur to derive Kabbalah. But in the Maskana, once we establish a Hekesh of all Karbonos to Ola, because again, the fact that the Torah requires Kabbalah Bekli in the case of the Aganos of Har Sinai of the Shalmei Tzibur, that doesn't prove anything about Shar Zvachin. That can't be the source for Shar Zvachin requirement of Kabbalah Bekli. The Gemara there in Adaf Tzadi Zayin has a hekesh between Ola and all the other Karbonos. If we have time, we would look it up, but I just don't want to spend that time right now. And therefore, Rashi is giving us here the final maskana that once we derive all, many, many dinim in Zvach that we derive from Ola. Ola becomes, to a large extent, the paradigm for many dinim, because the Torah compares all the Karbonos to Ola. Therefore, Rashi says that Lamaskana we're going to derive from Ola Kabbalah Bekli. But that's not the main part of our discussion today. What we're bothered by is the Sugya Daf Yud Gimel, Vikrivu. How is it possible that here in Eizem HaKomet Shel Zvachim, Rashi here on Daf Mem Zayin derives Kabbalah Bekli from Har Sinai, when the Gemara, in fact, quotes a Brais on Daf Yud Gimel that derives Kabbalah Sadam Bekli from Vikrivu Zu Kabbalah Sadam. In other words, in the Parsha of Ol itself, forget about Har Sinai, in the Parsha of Ol at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, the Torah says you require Kabbalah Bekli. And that's what it says in the Pasuk that we saw over here. V'shachad es ben abokar v'krivu b'nei Aaron akonim es adam. Right here the Gemara says Zui Kabbalah. So why is Rashi quoting the Parsha of Har Sinai? That's a more juicy kind of kasha. And as the first kasha, well, do we derive it from Olas Har Sinai or from Shalmei Tzibur of Har Sinai? There was a Havamina in the Gemara later on that we're going to derive it from Shalmei Tzibur, but Lamaskana we're going to derive it from a Hekesh to Ola. That's secondary in my mind. What's primary in my mind is how to reconcile Rashi here with the Sugya Daf Yud Gimel. The Sugya Daf Yud Gimel derives Kabbalah Sadam from what? From Vikriva, from the Pasuk Vikriva. There was a Havamina that Krivu meant Kabbalah Sadam, and the Gemara says, no, Vikriva is Kabbalah. And it was a Havamina that Kabbalah was what? That Vikriva was Rika Sadam, and the Maskon is it's Kabbalah Sadam, because it says both Vikriva and Mizarku. And then, you know, to top this all off, Rashi himself on Daf Yud Gimel seems to be bothered by this very same problem. Why is the Gemara insisting on deriving Kabbalah Sadam from Vikrivo? Why not derive it from Baganos of Har Sinai? And Rashi's answer is May Ol Moed V'Elach. That if we only had the Pasuk of Har Sinai, we would not be able to derive any conclusions about the Mishkan Lidore Doros, that we need Kabbalah Sadam, for that we need the Krivo. That's certainly not the impression you get from Rashi here in Eizem HaKomet Shel Zvachim. Here Rashi doesn't mention anything about Me'ol Moed V'Elech. Rashi says that if you want to know from whence we derive Kabbalah Sadam, it's from Har Sinai, the Ol of Har Sinai. We're up to now a paragraph that starts with the word Nira, not Vinira, because that's on the end of the page, but the paragraph that starts Nira. And he says the following. Rashi was bothered on Daf Yud Gimel with the following question. How could it be that the Gemara in the Brice itself on Daf Yud Gimel has a Havamina that Vikrivo means Zrika, and you don't need Kabbalah? Why don't we derive Kabbalah from Vayasem Baganos? Moshe Rabbeinu was careful to receive the dam in these receptacles. Obviously, we need a kli. So Rashi has to answer that question by saying that the Gemara is talking about a Hava Mina that maybe Me'ol Moed V'Elech Lo Tzarech Kabbalah. Maybe the requirement of kli only predates the establishment of the Mishkan, but after the Mishkan was established, we could do away with the requirement of Kabbalah Sadam. Kamash Malan, that's what this Bryce wants to tell me, from the Pasuk Bekrivo, that not only was the requirement of Kabbalah Bekli at the time of Har Sinai, but even after the Ol Moed was erected, they required Kabbalah Bekli. So are you with me so far? So the pieces of the puzzle are beginning to fit together. They're not there yet. What we know now is that Rashi on Daf Yud Gimel is very stark. Rashi is saying that what was the Hava Bina that Vekrivo was Rika Saddam and we don't need Kabbalah Saddam? How could that be? At Har Sinai it was required to Kabbalah Saddam. So Rashi adds, me'olmoy v'yelech. That if not for the Pasuk Vekrivo, I would have limited the requirement of Kli, Kabbalah B'Kli, to Har Sinai, and therefore I need Vekrivo. Okay, we're still not out in the clear yet. Akati, he says, Tzarech Iyud, we still have a problem. Because why would the Gemara have such a Hava Mina that the requirement of Kabbalah B'Kli is limited to Har Sinai? He's not operating, by the way, with this note that I told you before, the name of the Olal Safraim, that maybe Avod B'Choros, Avod B'Kohanim, he's not aware of that. It's not on his radar screen. So his first problem is, in understanding Rashi, why was there a Hava Mina to limit the requirement of Kabbalah B'Kli to Har Sinai and not apply to Old Moed? And his second kasha is, that Rashi says Kida Ashkechan B'Sinai, it would seem that the pasuk of Vekrivo is only accomplishing the following. It's only telling me that the din that applied, the requirement of Aganos of Kli at the time of Har Sinai, extends even to the Oel Moed. So it means that Rashi, at the end of the day, here's the tricky question. See if you can answer this question and get it right. What is the source now for Kabbalah B'Kli? Again, let's go over it. There was a Hava Mina to say that Kabbalah B'Kli only applies at the time of Har Sinai. Now that we have the Krivo, we can extend that requirement of Kabbalah B'Kli even after the Mishkan. Now I'm going to ask you the final question. So what at the end of the day is the source for the halacha of requirement of Kabbalah B'Kli? What do you say? No. It's Har Sinai. Why? Because again, we had a half a minute to think that maybe the requirement of Kabbalah B'Kli at Har Sinai does not apply after the Ol Moed. Vekrivo is a gilui milsa, that requirement of Kabbalah B'Kli is not limited to Har Sinai. Again, we don't know why there was such a Hava Mina. Why would we think that Kabbalah B'Kli is only required to Har Sinai? That question we haven't answered. That's his first question. But now his second question is, I feel him to Tzolomia come up with some fantastical Hava Mina, some Lovdish Hava Mina, that we should limit the requirement of Kabbalah's Dam to pre-Ol Moed, Kamashma V'Krivu. No, that requirement applies after Ol Moed. No, at the end of the day then, Rashi, the way he structures this, is going to derive Kabbalah B'Kli from what? From Har Sinai. I need Vekrivo just to make sure that we don't limit the pasuk of Vayasem Baganos to pre-Olmoed. So the pasuk of Vekrivo is going to extend it even after Olmoed. But the real source, the basis for Kabbalah B'Kli is Har Sinai. This leads us to a second kasha. What was the status of Aganos at the time of Har Sinai? Was it a klisharis or was it not a klisharis? It was not a klisharis. If Rashi is saying that the source of Kabbalah Saddam B'Kli is going to be Har Sinai, just so we need Vekrivo to extend it even beyond Ol Moed, then Dayol of Amen Adin, you know, your source for the requirement of Kabbalah Saddam B'Kli is what? is Agadot. The Agadot were not a Klisharis. From Vada Basement, from where you derive the conclusion that you require a Klisharis. Agadot was the Klichol and not a Klisharis. So now we get to the paragraph of Vinmire, and here's where the Rashi makes the breakthrough. What's his breakthrough? He says that what was the Havamina of Rashi, that Rashi says was the Havamina of the Braisa on Daf Yud Gimel, that whatever we derived from Har Sinai would not apply after Ol Moed. Why was the Gemara so upset about this? Maybe, if you'll argue, it says Vayasei Baganos, maybe that's only before Ol Moed, but not after Ol Moed. So we didn't have a svara for that. Again, the Masifta has such a svara. Oh. So Rosh Hashiva says, here's what the Havamina. The Havamina was that if you're going to derive Kabbalah Saddam the Kli from the Agonos, then you have no right to add an additional description, an additional requirement to Kabbalah the Kli, namely what? Klisharis. That you have no right to do. What's going to justify that? If your source is the word Agonos, then Klichol should be enough. You're right. The Kohen has to receive the Dam, but let him receive the Dam in any Kli. I, the Vaganos, Agonos was any Kli. It didn't have the sanctity of a klisharis. So now we have the pasuk v'krivo. Now v'krivo, the Braisa concludes, is kabbalas adam. Correct? Not zrika, because it says v'krivo v'zarka. So now ask Rashi's kasha, but wait a minute, was there really a havamina to say that you don't require kabbalas adam? Rashi says, look, that's impossible, because it says v'yasei baganos. So why did Gemara sweat it out to try to prove that Vikrivo means Kabbalah Saddam? Of course he did Kabbalah Saddam. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. So Rashi answers, the Ol Moed V'Elach. What does Rashi want to point out over here?
The Ol Moed V'Elach is a Klisharis.
Exactly. How do you know that the Ol Moed V'Elach is in a Klisharis? And the answer is because Vikrivo means that they were Kabbalah Saddam. Now what question should we ask now? Okay, I grant you that Vikrivo means Kabbalah Saddam. But what?
What were they doing pre?
Who says that it was in a klisharis? Are you hearing the kasha? I'm leading you up to the breakthrough of the Rosh Hashiva here. Again, we've created a beautiful structure. On the one hand, we're going to maintain, as Rashi says at the beginning of Ezu Makom Shel Zvachim, that the source for Kabbalah Saddam the Kli is the Agonos of Har Sinai. On the other hand, the Gemara says, the Braisa says on Daf Yud Gimel, that the source for Kabbalah Saddam is the Krivo. How do we reconcile Rashi here in Ezer Makomon with the Braisa there in the first parak of Daf Yud Gimel? Well, the answer is, the Braisa, says Rashi on Daf Yud Gimel, is very much aware of the source of Sinai. But that's not enough. Because if we only had the source of Sinai, then I would have limited it to what kind of Kabbalah? A Kabbalah B'Klichol. I would not know, I would not be able to derive the requirement of Kabbalah B'Klichol. For that I need the Parsha of the Krivo. Hashtadus is lahalchi. Now I have to ask you the following question. How do you know that the Krivo requires a Klisharis? So Rosh Hashiva says the following. The Asa Krod of the Krivo Lameimar, the Af B'Migdash, Iker Din Kabbalah. Now, how do you know that Kabbalah has to be a Kabbalah B'Kli? Again, you're only extending the original Yalfusa from Aganos and Har Sinai, which was in a Klichol. So how do you know if you're extending it to post Ol Moed that you can require Klisharis? He says Memela. That's the key word here. Memela. Four lines up from the bottom if you want to underline. The word Memela, we know it automatically. How do we know it automatically? Memela yadina da'avi Klisharis. The avoda b'klichol lo shaycha b'migdash klal. Here's the yisod. As far as Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned, that Har Sinai, those karbonos, there the technicalities were implemented without what we call avoda. Avoda means two things. Number one, avoda means a kohen, and when I say a kohen, I mean a kohen kosher. And avoda means what? A kli shares. There's no such thing as an avoda b'kli chol. For example, we're going to have a whole long discussion about sakin shel shechita. Does sakin shel shechita have to be a kli shares? So just, you know, he's a local shechit, you know, he gives us a satmar shechita, and let him take his knife, and now shech the karma. It's not, it's a sakin shel chol, okay? So that would depend upon how you define shechita. Maybe there's a chiddush that shechita, even if it's not avoda, still requires a kli shares. We'll have to see about that. But the basic rule is that avoda requires a kli shares. Now, if avoda requires a kli shares, then once I extend the alfusa of Har Sinai, of Kabbalah, from agonos pre-olmoid to keli post-olmoid, I know by definition it's got to be a kli shares because it has the status of avoda. Ulefi zeh asi shapir mashapirish Rashi besugyan to be inon kli shares kiri alfinon misinai diikar had to be inon kabbalah. What's the source in the Torah for the requirement of kabbalah? That's Har Sinai, because vayosem bagonos, that's a kabbalah b'kli. Ela what? I still don't know that after old moed I need a Kabbalah. If I need a Kabbalah after Ol Moed, it's going to be a whole different set of rules and regulations. The Kabbalah is not going to be a Kabbalah b'kli chol. It's going to have a Chal Shem Avoda. And once I upgrade it to the status of Avoda, b'meil, it requires a Kli Shares. The Achar de Golilon Krod de Vikrivu, the Afba Ol Moed b'bein in Kabbalah, Al Korchenu Havidavka b'kli Shares Mishum de Lo Shayach Avoda b'kli chol b'mimdash. So this leads us, Rabosai, to the words, the Ode Hiksha Gris. I'm just going to tell you very quickly where we're going with this. He says the following. He says that we have a sugya on Daf Chof Hei in Masechta Zvachim, and a Mishnah on Daf Chof Hei, called Nishvach Adam Al Aritzpah. So the Dam went from the Tzavra Behema where? Directly where?
To the
floor, to the Ritzpah. And the Mishnah says possible. Why? Because what was missing here? Kabbalah, exactly, Kabbalah. And the Mishnah itself derives that from a pasuk. It says, "V'lakach midam apar," and the Mishnah darshins dam me'apar yikablen, that dam hapar, the extra hay, teaches that it has to go from the par into the Kabbalah, not onto the ritzpah. Fret the brisker rav, nemele muchach mine. I see from the Mishnah clearly, de'ika avodas kabbalah. How could the Brisa raise the possibility that you don't have to have an avod of kabbalah? You could just skip over kabbalah or do some sort of technical, mechanical act of receiving it in a klichol, and there's no requirement in avoda? Because if that be the case, who cares if the dam fell onto the ritzvah? You see clearly. So the Brisker Rav's son, everybody remember his name? The Brisker Rav's son? Rav Yosher Ber, his name, they called him Rav Beryl. Rav Beryl. Anyone who learned Kachim in Eretz Yisrael in the last 50 years will claim he's a Talmud of Rav Beryl. Okay, I'm not exaggerating. So the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron Yeshiva that we're studying now, he was a Talmud and he learned Kachim by Rav Beryl. I'm not sure exactly how many years he learned Kachim by Rav Beryl. Rav Beryl's cycle was a seven-year cycle, just Kachim, Yom V'Layel, 7 years. But I think that Rav Katz went through 3 cycles with Rav Beryl. That's why I hold that this sefer is Kodesh Kadoshim. It is mamish the final word on Kachim, because he heard it all, besides his own genius. And he says, in answering his father's question, he says that Enochinami, that mission itself, that if the dam goes from the Tzavar Abema down to the Ritzvah, the carbon is possible, that itself is only after we have all these Yalfusas. He says that that's Basar Dekra, after we have the possible Dekrivo, which upgrades the Kabbalah Sadam from just the Kabbalah Bekli Chol that we added our Sinai to the Aganos, to the Kabbalah of an Avoda. After we know it's an avoda without the Kabbalah Sadam, and Yochinami, it's Posach, Tzalke Daita, but in the Havamin, the law of the avoda, Velo Be'in and Klishores, and that's what Rashi means in the Ol Moed V'Elech, Meaning, we would have thought that before Olam Moed, we don't need a kli sharis. All we need is any sort of a kli. It's only after we have Vikrivo and we've upgraded the Kabbalah Saddam to the level of what? An avoda, and that's how we derive kli sharis. Now, the dam went from the Tzara Behema down to the Ritzvah without being received in a kli sharis. Now we know it's possible. And that's going to bring us to the paragraph Ulud Bir. So we're going to stop here, Abosai. But, again, if you can either get the sefer or photocopy, what we're really up to now is what's called Hazah Bein Habadim. And Rashi requires that the Kohen stand where? On Yom HaKippurim for the Chatos, what's called the Par and the Sawyer. Where did Rashi, I hope you didn't forget, it's only an hour ago. I mean, that span of memory we have to have, at least one hour. After an hour, I hold you potter, but for an hour you have to remember. He's got to stand Bein Habadim. So the entire next simon here, which is called Os Beis in Perek Ezim Zvachim, is dedicated to try to figure out why Rashi requires that the Kohen stand Bein Habadim. And if you enjoyed today's shiur, whatever level, from 0 to 10, double it for tomorrow. Okay? Because tomorrow we're really going to have a blast. Because this sugya is absolutely fascinating. It sounds so technical. So secondary. Who cares whether the Kohen Gadol is standing here and the Bein Habadim is here, or whether he moves Bein Habadim? Come on! Give me a break! Like, you're going to give an hour shiur tomorrow on that question?
Well,
that's
yes.
To keep you in suspense. The answer is yes.
The cliffhanger.
And it further teaches us that every single dimension, every detail in Kodshim is deeper than we would ever imagine. Okay then? Everyone should have a great day. If you're around at 11:45, we'll be studying also a very interesting sugya in Ritz Hashem about Kizayas, the halacha of Kizayas. That's how I want to see.
I want to work on my skills of this. I'm holding the book.
I'm going to switch sides.